Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air with the mission to equip you in life and truth because life and truth matter. In our post-truth culture of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with truth has never been greater. Truth equips you to live life authentically in Christ, enabling you to strive with all His energy that He so powerfully works within you. To join us on air with your question or testimony of the life-saving grace of Jesus Christ, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our content, the resources that we talk about on the broadcast, you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go right to the phone calls. Change of pace. Bill up first in Chino, California. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Hank.
Your question.
I got a question. It's about a guy named Louis Farrakhan. I'm sure you've heard of him. I want to know, is this guy a false prophet or what? From your viewpoint, is he the real deal or is he just another cult leader?
Oh, he's a cult leader. And we actually did a little booklet at the Christian Research Institute. Actually, it's a hardcover book. It's titled Islam, and it's the best of the Christian Research Journal. And one of the articles in this book is an article on Louis Farrakhan. And the article is titled Hate Begotten of Hate, Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. And it gives you a good overview on how the Nation of Islam was founded, what its belief system is. But in short, it was founded by Wallace Ford, and he was followed by a guy named Elijah Muhammad. And today, the Nation of Islam is under the care of Farrakhan. The basic belief system is very, very racist. They believe that the white man was grafted into existence some 7,000 years ago by a scientist named Dr. Yaqob. And they're also very, very anti-Christian. Christianity, in their view, is the white man's religion. They say that Jesus Christ is not God, that Allah had sex with Mary and produced Jesus Christ, and on it goes. So it's a very strongly racist organization.
Wow. Well, that answers that. Thank you, Frank.
You are absolutely welcome. Thank you for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dr. Robert in Spring Hill, Florida. Hi, Robert.
Hello. How you doing, Hank? My name is Robert. How you doing? I have a question for you.
Sure.
Question about the proper Hebrew name for Jesus and for God. And I have one more other question. Another question I'm going to ask you about the Israelite. Do you know anything about the missing trial of the of the 12 trial, which is the said supposed to be the black Hebrew light? Is that true?
No, and this is all part of a movement that is extraordinarily dangerous. In fact, we did an article in the Christian Research Journal on the black Hebrew Israelites, the origin and insufficiency of their Israelite movement. That was in the Christian Research Journal, and you can find it on the web at equip.org. But among other things, and there are many other things, including the racism that I alluded to earlier, according to some black Hebrew Israelites, it is misguided at best to use the term Jesus. Instead, they say it is incumbent upon their adherents to use the Hebrew rendering of Jesus, Yeshua. But here's what we need to be able to explain when someone says that. The first thing I would say is that the inspired New Testament is written in Greek, and therefore the Hebrew Yeshua is appropriately rendered Iesus in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, and then appropriately Jesus in the English language, which we're familiar with. And why is this? It's because the Greek renders the Hebrew Y as an I, and the English renders the Greek I as iota or as J. So the notion that the Hebrew Yahushua, or its contraction, Yeshua, is the only means of identifying the one who we hold to be Messiah is tragically mistaken. And again, the article in the Christian Research Journal I would commend to you. You can hang on. I can send you a copy of it, or you can check it out on the web at equip.org. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Paul in Kingston, Ontario, Canada, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Paul.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering what your thoughts on amillennialism is.
Well, you know, I think that there are a lot of people today who think that you either have to be pre-millennial or post-millennial or amillennial, and I don't think those are the only options that are available. When it comes to the millennium, you have to remember that the only place you find any indication of a millennium is in Revelation chapter 20. And there, the term thousand is used in highly apocalyptic fashion. In other words, the apocalypse of John, or the book of Revelation, is an apocalypse. It is an unfolding, not just in terms of an unfolding of what is going to happen in the near future and ultimately in the final future, but it's also a linguistic matrix that has its roots in the rest of the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. And so when John is using the term thousand, he is using it not in a wooden literalistic sense, as though there's going to be a thousand-year period of time, and you have to decide in some way how you fall into that thousand or what you believe in that thousand. That is simply an apocalyptic term that is used in a metaphorical way. So if you look at how this is used in Scripture, it's pretty interesting. Over and over and over again, you find that the term is invariably used in a figurative manner. So God increased the number of the Israelites 1,000 times. God is keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations. Or God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I can think of a bunch of others. Better is one day in God's courts than 1,000 elsewhere, or the least of Zion will become 1,000, the smallest a mighty nation. So the point here is that if in each of these cases we're using thousand in a metaphorical sense, why now are people trying to use it in a wooden literalistic sense? So I think it's important to realize that you can't take this in a wooden literalistic sense, nor think that requires you to be categorized by one of those three positions that I just mentioned, that you have to either be pre, post, or amillennial. I don't think those are the only options. And again, I wrote about this in a great deal of detail in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. And let me say one other thing really quickly while I have some time before we go to break. We should note, I think, that while Jesus spoke repeatedly of the resurrection of the dead, he did not so much as hint at the notion of a thousand-year semi-golden age replete with a rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices. In fact, you recall, he said, "Do not be amazed. A time is coming when all who are in the graves hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be eternally condemned. And when Jesus spoke with Martha concerning the resurrection of her brother, remember, she reaffirmed that Lazarus would be resurrected on the last day, not prior to a 1,000-year semi-golden age. Now, I know we're not talking here specifically about the premillennial position, but nonetheless, I'm pointing out that that's the popular position, and people feel like you have to categorize yourself either pre, post, or awe, and I don't think that's the case, as I point out in my book. We're coming to the station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with the quote of the day and more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And if you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, check that out on the web, equip.org.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And right back to our phone calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll go to Mark in Washington, D.C., listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Your service here as well. Can you talk a little bit about the belief of the Baha'i faith in progressive revelation?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Baha'u'llah, the founder of Baha'i faith, he believed that his messianic mandate was the unification of all of the world's religions. And so they believe that Baha'u'llah is a greater manifestation of God than Moses, Muhammad, or the Christian Messiah. And in their view, every few hundred years, the spirit and the attributes of divinity are mirrored in a new messenger and a new manifestation of God. And then each revelator reveals as much revelation as people at that particular point in time are ready to receive. So Moses or Buddha or Confucius or Christ or Muhammad, Krishna, they all paved the way towards the ultimate revelation, which is personified in Baha'i. The fallacy is of course, that the revelators and their revelations directly conflict with one another. And therefore, there's a real problem there just from the standpoint of logic. Moses was fiercely monotheistic. Zoroaster, Krishna were polytheistic. So the point here is that the messengers and the manifestations can all be wrong, but they obviously can't all be right. And there's another thing I should point out in response to your question, and that is Baha'i explicitly denies objective truth with respect to Christianity. So they deny the Trinity, the virgin birth, the incarnation, the resurrection, the second coming of Christ, and so forth.
Very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. I did write about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. There's an entry there, and we've done articles in the Christian Research Journal. We've written about this in various places that you can check out on the web at equip.org. Our culture is becoming increasingly divided over the abortion issue. And it's very, very interesting that when you think about what's going on with Brett Kavanaugh, so often you think that this is about the claims of Dr. Ford or the counterclaims of Kavanaugh to clear his name and so forth. But that's not really what all of this is about. And I want to say something about this, but before I do, let me say that this is not a moment in history in which to be silent. This is not a time to be apolitical. You think back in the year 1973, when Christians were largely silent in the face of a Holocaust which has led from then till now to the deaths of 60 million preborn children. Some could be said that this applies to the horrors of slavery as well. That Christians were largely silent. And in light of that, what I want to say is that being involved politically is a duty. It's a duty whereby we demonstrate tangibly that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We're to seek justice and equity, just as our Christian predecessors have done in the past. This is mandatory. It's not optional. So thank God for the Christians who protested slavery, for the Christians who protested Roe v. Wade back on January 22nd, 1973. This is a duty on our part. The next couple of days, I want to talk about this and why we should be involved in the political process. It is critical, and I would say more critical now than ever before. I was reading again today a book titled Slouching Towards Gomorrah, and I thought this is the perfect quote to be communicating in light of what is going on with the Senate judiciary hearings. I would say Bork was prescient when he said this, and I quote, "I objected to Roe v. Wade," and by the way, that's why he was Borked. That's why he never made it to the Supreme Court. "I objected to Roe v. Wade the moment it was decided, not because of any doubts about abortion, but because the decision was a radical deformation of the Constitution. The Constitution has nothing to say about abortion, leaving it, like most subjects, to the judgment and moral sense of the American people and their elected representatives. Roe and the decisions reaffirming it are equal in their audacity and abuse of judicial office to Dred Scott versus Sanford. Just as Dred Scott forced a Southern pro-slavery position on the nation, Roe is nothing more than the Supreme Court's imposition on us of the morality of the cultural elites." Again, the quote is by someone that should have been on the Supreme Court, someone who got Borked, the name now a verb, and it comes from this book, a very prescient book, as I said, Slouching Towards Gomorrah. Back to the phone line. We'll talk to Lou next in Ontario, Canada, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lou.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
It's funny, I read that book by Robert Bork. I read both of his books about 4 years ago, Slouching Towards Gomorrah. He wrote that during the early 90s.
Yes, he did. In fact, I had him in studio. Yeah, I had him in studio, and he did smoke a lot. I remember that, hanging out with him, but he was a great man.
Oh, he was. And another thing about Robert Bork is that I've read about him extensively, is that he did not like to be more or less in the same room with people of the left. He was very uncomfortable because he taught. He was a professor at Ivy League University, and he saw what was happening in the 60s. So, very interesting person. The reason I'm calling is regarding Muslims. We've had our share of Muslims come into the country in Canada, and at first I was a little concerned because we on the right, we were against the Sharia law. However, what I found is the Lord has trusted me to help convert a couple of them, men, of course, to Jesus. And it's not like I went looking for this. It's I treat people and I assess people with injuries, severe injuries, in the medical field. And they've asked me questions, and my advice, simply because I didn't have a lot of time to spend with them, was I advise them to get an Arabic King James Version of the Bible, and also to, attend a Baptist church. That's the best I could do, because they're asking me a lot of questions about Jesus, about Jews, and I tried to ask, answer them as best I could. And I was just wondering, when I'm in these situations, could you give me any advice on how to set them in a certain direction? Because it's a very complex question to answer in a one-off, and that's why I'm calling.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it's really great that you're equipped, because if you're equipped, God will give you opportunities. And so you've had, in the course of going about your daily business, the opportunity to witness and tell Muslims about the genuine Jesus Christ. Of course, Muslims believe that the Jesus Christ of Christianity, or believing that Jesus Christ is God, is the unforgivable sin of shirk. And so it's very, very important for Christians to be familiar with the essentials of the Christian faith, because that's the straight stick by which you see the crookedness of Islam. So contrast is the mother of clarity. And so if you know the essentials of the Christian faith, you can use those essentials as ways or springboards to sharing the good news that a Muslim desperately needs to hear. Now, I've written about that in a book titled Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. One of the sections of that book deals with major Muslim misunderstandings, and I use the acronym which codifies the essentials of the Christian faith to help in this process of witnessing. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the show, so look forward to seeing you.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.